Jesus, I know that your word is important.
Lord, we look forward to your word, and we know that's what changes lives. Lord, this is the main dish of our spiritual meal today. So we pray that you would speak to us, change us, use us for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Listen, lives were changed at Christmas, were they not? Here's my high-tech illustration. Remember, we did this last week. We're going to talk about people in the manger. Look in the center. Boom, there's Jesus. Did you see that? That's good. We got a couple more clicks today. High-tech here. We're talking about Jesus. Who is Jesus? He is the one that changed history, didn't he? He was the only one who split time in half. We count time before he was born, B.C., A.D., in the year of our Lord, Anno Domini. We split time in half because of his birth. Jesus has changed everything. I was sharing with my wife just the other day of how even in our culture, women have the right to vote because of Jesus. Women have rights because of Jesus. It's only because of Jesus. If you don't believe that, look at other parts of the world where Jesus is not preached. Perhaps Muslim countries, and the women aren't even allowed to walk down the street without something covering their faces. Okay? When people read the Bible, it spoke of equality. It says we are no longer male or female, slave or free. It says all men are brought together and before God we're equal. Because of Christianity, there was an end to the slave trade in our country. It's because of Jesus. It is. Jesus has given us rights. Jesus has given us freedom. It's because of our faith in Jesus that we even have things like the printing press. The printing press was invented by Johann Gutenberg to what? Print the Bible. Okay? Why do we have schools today? Because of Jesus. The first schools in our nation were what? Christian schools. Sunday school. To teach people how to read. Why? So you can read the Bible. You understand? Around the world where missionaries go, where there is no Jesus, they usually go places where there's a lot of illiteracy, where there might not even be a written language. And the missionaries in those areas, the first things they need to do is create a written language. I don't even know how to even begin to do that. But they listen to the words, they learn the oral language, and they begin to write it down, and they teach the people how to write their own language. Why? So then they can translate the Bible in the written language. Happens all the time. Jesus changes everything. To God be the glory. Amen?
Amen?
We don't even know what life would be like without Jesus. We don't have any idea. And I'm so grateful that he has changed the world. Last week, see that? Last week, we talked about Mary. Mary was Jesus' mom. Was Mary a god? No. Mary was a great woman who was faithful. She was faithful. And she lived a faithful life. Thank the Lord for her. Last week's message was good. If you missed it, download it. We're running out of time. Today we're talking about Joseph. Today we're talking about Joseph. And let me give you Joseph's story. Joseph was a good man. Joseph was a godly man. Joseph loved the Lord. Joseph was a hard worker. He was a blue-collar hard-working carpenter, worked hard. Calloused on his hands, he was a man's man. If he was an NFL fan today, he wouldn't be like a New England Patriots fan, because whatever that is. He would have been like an Eagles fan, because he was blue-collar. He was a blue... Maybe Steelers, because they're a hard-working town, at least, something. Blue-collar man, okay? Listen, he had integrity, he had character, and just like any other man, listen, he had dreams for his future. I want you to get this. He was a man who had dreams for his future. He wanted to get married one day. He wanted to live in Nazareth. He wanted to build a nice house. No doubt he sat and thought, man, this is the kind of house I want to get. I'll put a little carpentry shop on the side. And he had dreams about what he wanted to do in life. He wanted a family. I'm thinking it was probably a big family because it's normally what they had in those cultures. I knew when he's dreaming about his kids, he's probably thinking, I'm going to have a little boy. I'm going to name him Joey. I'm going to name him after me, little Joey Jr. And then he's thinking, if I have another son, I'm going to name him Jacob after my dad. If I have another son, I'm going to do this, and I want to get some sons first, and then I want to have daughters, but I want the sons to protect the daughters. He had plans. Okay? Maybe he dreamed that one day his son would take over the family business and be a carpenter as well. Who knows? He had plans, though. He had plans. Hard-working, good, godly man. He met a young girl named Mary. And he saw her and he just fell in love and said, "This is my bride. I'm going to marry that girl." Any of you guys ever say that? "But your woman, I'm going to marry that girl." He spoke to her parents. He asked for their daughter's hand in marriage. The parents accepted. Listen, they were engaged. They made the arrangements. Everybody was excited. The plans were made. Joseph the carpenter was beginning to live out his dreams. And guess what happened? Change of plans. Change of plans. What happened? She became pregnant. And not by him. I'll just let that soak in for a second, okay? Problem. She became pregnant, not by him. The thought was she must have been unfaithful. This would bring a lot of shame to him and his family. Listen, how much shame? I don't want to offend you, but here's the deal. He would have been known as the man who married the town whore. Ouch. I want you to feel that shame. I don't usually use that word. Okay? He would have been known as the man who raised, for lack of a better word, the bastard child. And I'm uncomfortable even saying that word. I don't use that word, but that's the stigma. Did you hear that? That's what Joseph was facing. Can you just feel it? Just makes you feel dirty, doesn't it? This was a big deal. His plans were changed. His family honor was at stake. This was a big deal. Open up your Bibles and we're going to read what happened. Listen, his plans were, let me just tell you what his plans were as you're turning. We're going to look at Matthew chapter 1. Seven thirty-three, if you have it. Matthew chapter 1. Verse 18. Listen, he was a good man. We know he's a good man because if he wanted to, he could have accused her publicly of being unfaithful, right? And they could have stoned her to death. Since Joseph was a good man, since he loved her, since he had compassion, he chose to divorce her quietly. Now you have to understand, when you got engaged in that time, you were officially married. You were just waiting for the wedding day. Like, you never got engaged and broke it off. If you did, that had to be like a divorce. It was an official thing. When you're engaged, you were set to be married. You were just waiting for the party. It was different. So he chose to divorce her quietly. Now, if I offended you using those words, I apologize for that. I don't like to use those words. I'll probably never use those words again in my life. Unless I'm preaching on Joseph in 10 years, I don't know. Next, yeah, right? Merry Christmas. Thank you for my new words. Sorry. But you feel the shame and you feel the stigma. This was a big deal with Joseph. He decided in his heart, I'm going to divorce this lady. There's nothing I can do. And if you remember, Lou Kincaid shows up. Remember that from the play last year? Okay. You still remember your lines. Good, Lou. Lou was the angel. Let's read Matthew 1:18. This is how Jesus the Messiah was born. It said, His mother Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph, but before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. Joseph, her fiancé, was a good man and did not want to disgrace her publicly, so he decided to break the engagement quietly. Verse 20. As he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Joseph, son of David, the angel said, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit. And she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All of this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through his prophet. Look, the virgin will conceive a child, and she will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. When Joseph woke up, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded and took Mary as his wife. Change of plans. Joseph, listen, he had another change of plans, didn't he? Joseph's plan was changed. His first plan, marry the woman, build a house. Second plan, divorce the woman, look for a new woman, right? And then I'll have Joe Jr. carry on the business. But God came in. The new plan, like I said, his new plan was to divorce her. The angel of the Lord shows up, and I heard you reading that too, Lou, as I read it. The angel of the Lord shows up, and what does he say? He said, the child was conceived by the Holy Spirit. Marry her. Did you hear that? Change of plans. This child was conceived by the Holy Spirit. You marry her. What else did he say? You will have a son, and you're to name him Jesus. His plan was to start over again. This wasn't what he signed up for. The angel said, you marry her. The angel said, you name him Jesus. You mean Joe Jr., right, angel? You name him Jesus. His plans changed. What did he do? He remained what? Faithful to the Lord and flexible with his own plans. Do you see that? He remained faithful to the Lord, flexible with his own plans. It said in verse 24 we read, when Joseph woke up, he did as the angel commanded and took Mary as his wife. He did not have sexual relations with her until the son was born. He chose to be flexible with his own plans and faithful to God. Let's move on with the story. He married Mary. Here's his new plan. Ready? Continue with marriage to Mary. Endure the public shame and scorn for God, because he knew this was a God thing. Okay? Build your new house in Nazareth, naming Jesus, because he was commanded to do that as well. Guess what? Luke chapter 2, you can read it later. Luke 2, 1 through 4. I'm just going to tell you what it says. It says, at that time, the Emperor Augustus decreed that there's going to be a census taken. Everybody had to go to their own hometown. What was his plan? Build the house in Nazareth. Look at this. They're in Nazareth. Augustus said, you have to go home because we're counting. We're taking a census. You have to leave. Who was Augustus? He's the Roman emperor. The Jews were almost like slaves. They were conquered people. They had to do what they were told. Augustus wasn't a good guy. He was the Roman emperor. He tells Joseph he has to take his now pregnant wife 70 miles to Bethlehem just so they can count him. Aren't you glad when they do the U.S. Census you don't have to drive back to wherever your family was officially from? with a pregnant child, pregnant wife, on the back of a donkey. No air conditioning, no heat on the donkey. No air ride suspension. No earplugs, just donkey. When he comes back to bite you, kick him in the neck. Just a donkey. Right? Why did he have to go? Because the emperor said he was faithful to the Lord, flexible with his plans. How was he being faithful to the Lord? Listen to this. Don't miss this. Because God set up the authority in the world. God allowed Augustus to be emperor. Because God allowed Augustus to be emperor, Joseph had to submit to the authority that God allowed to be in place. Was Augustus a Christian? I'm sure he probably wasn't. I'm sure. He was Roman. Why would he be? He had to obey God, and that meant obeying the authority God has placed. Do you see that? So he had to do that. God has established every authority in the world, whether they're good or bad, and we are to obey them unless they're contradicting Scripture. Unless they're telling us to do things that God's law doesn't say. God's law doesn't say you're not allowed to go to Bethlehem, so he had to go to Bethlehem. He was faithful to the Lord, flexible with his own plans. You got that? Everybody there? You can help me. All right. Luke chapter 2 verse 4 tells us that he took her to Bethlehem, his ancient home, where his family was officially from. They traveled there from Nazareth, and Mary was obviously pregnant. Here's his new plan. Ready? Go to Bethlehem. Stay for the census. Go back to Nazareth. Hopefully we'll get back before Jesus is born. We're going to name him Jesus. Keep building my house. A little late, but it'll be okay. And then we're going to continue with my plans. Guess what happened? Change of plans. You got it. There's a theme here. If you get this, it's going to go a little bit easier. What happens? Baby's born. Luke chapter 2, verse 5, 6, and 7 tell us, while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. She gave birth to her first child, wrapped him in strips of cloth, laid him in the manger. I'm sure as soon as, actually, we can even stick in another one. Baby's coming. Nah, honey, that's just the camel. Baby's coming, Joseph. Hang on, honey. 4 weeks. It's coming, trust me. All right, let's go to the hotel. Change of plans, right? Can't get in there. No room for the inn. She was born. What do you think he's thinking as his baby is born and lying in a feed trough? Is that what you would want for your child? Change of plans. Not what he wanted. But the baby was born, and in obedience and faithfulness to God, he named him Jesus, Matthew 1:25 tells us. Change of plans. Joey's got a new plan. Ready? Here's his new plan. Go back to Nazareth. We'll get there. We have to wait till he's old enough to travel. But we'll get back to Nazareth, keep building the house, go to work, build my shop, and we'll be good. Guess what? He didn't get out of Bethlehem for like 2 years. Why? Because Roman bureaucracy is slow. Much like United States bureaucracy. Right? I was just going to use an illustration that I thought I better not about bureaucracy. But we've had some bureaucracy with our church. Not bad things, but you deal with the state. They don't call you back right away. Okay. Anybody ever have to call the IRS? Bureaucracy? If you owe them money, they're on the phone. They owe you money? Please hold. Guess what? Matthew 2:13 tells us this. The wise men came to visit. They brought gifts. He's thinking, now I get to go home. Nazareth. How do I want to lay out my shop? Do I want a two-car garage? Or I think if I put the air compressor in the back, that'll help me with my carpenter shop. Right? He's thinking his plans through. Guess what? An angel of the Lord appears to him, Matthew 2:13. Angel of the Lord shows up again. Joseph, get up. Flee to Egypt with the child and his mother. Stay there. Herod is searching to kill him. Did you hear that? Flee to where? Egypt. Where's that map? What? I'm going here, Lord. Go here. Change of plans. What did he do? Matthew 2:14 says, he left for Egypt and he stayed there till Herod died. Faithful to the Lord, right? Flexible with his own plan. Later on, Herod died. Verse 2:19 tells us another angel appears to him in a dream. Get up. Herod's dead. Go back to Israel. He gets up, starts going. Then he hears that Herod's son was there. He's afraid to go. Matthew 2:23 tells us, 22 and 23 tell us that he was warned in a dream again. But the angel says, you go to Nazareth. And this fulfilled what the scripture said. He will be called a Nazarene. Interesting. Throughout these pages of Luke 1 and 2, Matthew 1 and 2, we see this phrase, this fulfills what the prophet said, or this fulfills the Holy Scripture. You understand, he was faithful to the Lord, flexible with his own plans, but in the process of being flexible and being faithful, he ended up fulfilling Scripture. Why? Because it was God's plan. Amen? Now, I hope you see that pattern, okay? He had his plans, yet he was faithful to God because his plans changed. Faithful to God, flexible. He finally got back home to Nazareth, got to build his house, got to do things. Did his plans change? Probably. I don't know. We don't know what happens after this story. But he finally got back home. And I'm just going to say, by the pattern, I doubt that everything came along the way he wanted. But guess what? His life is marked by what? Faithfulness. By flexibility. Amen? Amen. So if you were flexible with the envelopes, you feel a little bit better now. Can you give me some water, please, honey? All right. We're going to get into what does this mean for you? But I'm waiting for the water for that one. So, anybody got a song? Thank you. Listen, James says, if you look at my word, if you listen to it and don't do it, like a person who looks in the mirror and you see you got a big old pea on your head, but you don't even pluck it off. You just walk away and leave your face all unkempt and messed up. You know? You just got like food and stuff stuck in your teeth and you look and you walk away and you don't change it. That's ridiculous, right? Who wouldn't change something? You got sleep in your eye. It looked like you got a pine cone. And you just leave it there. You wouldn't do that. You would change. Listen, we need to be people who are changed by the words. Are you ready? Let's talk about what does Joseph's life mean for us today. I'm going to hit the second one first. Listen, we need to remain faithful and flexible. Let's look at flexible first. Who do we serve? We serve the Lord. He is the King of what? All kings. We do not serve the Burger King, do we? Thank the Lord. We don't serve the Burger King. We serve the King of Kings. What does the Burger King say? You can have it your way. You don't serve the Burger King. And you don't know what you want anyway. You ever go to Burger King? How many people stand there for 20 minutes? Cheese or no cheese? And you're behind them. Get the stinking cheese. Right? Quarter pounder or Whopper? I don't know. You're like, what does it matter? It doesn't matter. It's the same burger, different bun. Who cares? And then what happens? You get up to the line and you do the same thing. Because you were thinking about what they should have got and you didn't think about what you should have got. Listen, if you don't know what you want for lunch, you don't know what you want for life. You don't know. You don't know. You think you know. You don't know. But I'm grateful, listen, that we serve the King of Kings and not the Burger King. If you want what you want all the time, and you're going to throw a fit about it, you're in sin. And it's rebellion. And you forget who's the King. Are you the King? No. Am I the King? No. He's the King. What if he tells me to do something that I don't want to do? Guess what? It wouldn't be anything new, would it? He didn't say, hey, Joe, feel like marrying her? You do this. You name him Jesus. Hey, Joe, feel like going to Egypt? God could have protected them so they could have went home to Nazareth. He could have put a shield about them and kept them protected. He did not. He said, my plan is for you to go to Egypt. You go. And he went. You don't get what you want all the time. Don't we hate that when our children do that? When you see little monsters at ShopRite, and they put the candy there in the aisle to tempt the little monsters. Right? They bring out the monster in them. Oh, I need this. And nobody will admit that it's their own kid. If we took a survey, all of our kids are angels. All the time. But we all have stories about the other people's kid. We could tell you about the lady in line who finally gave in and gave them the candy. We've all seen people do that. And we're screaming inside saying, that's why they're monsters. Because the little kid says this, I had to scream 5 times. I thought I would only have to do it 4, but they knew they were going to get it. I want that. No. I want that now. No. Little kid's like, who do you think you are? I want that now. No. I'm telling Dad. No. Oh, yeah? Wah! Wah! And then finally the mom's embarrassed. Wah! Wah! Shut up! And take the candy. That's what we do. I wonder if when God looks down from heaven, if He sees us like that. I wonder if when God looks down from heaven, He sees us throwing a fit because we don't get what we want. And guess what? That lady would give in to that candy because she was weak. The lady would give in and give that child candy because she had more pride. Then maybe love for the child, I don't know, pride was important to her because you give it to shut the kid up so you don't look bad. And she was weak and gave in to that toddler. Guess what? That's sin. But guess what? God doesn't have sin. God doesn't sin. So what I'm saying is when God looks down at us throwing a fit, God's not giving in. God is not weak. God does not say, psh, I want to look good in front of all the other gods in the world. Oh, wait, I'm the only one. I guess that's not a problem. I guess you're just going to throw a fit and look stupid. And if you don't stop it, I'm going to discipline you. And God will give you a whooping. Right? Like the kids need. You need to be flexible. You need to be flexible. It is not your way all the time. That's the Burger King. And he looks too much like Howard Eskin for me to serve him. Okay? I serve the King of Kings. Amen?
Amen.
And I'm not going to get it my way all the time. Guess what? I'm okay with that. Because truth is, we stand in line. We don't know what we want anyway. Jesus knows what I want. Jesus, even better, Jesus knows what I need. Even better, Jesus knows what I was created for. We have gifts within us. You have gifts within you you've never used that God planted within your heart from the beginning of time for you to serve Him and live for Him. And we want to live by our own roadmap, and you will never see those gifts come out. He wants to take you to a place where you will work and walk in Him in faith, and you will grow. And guess what? You will have joy that you don't understand. You will have the abundant life Jesus talks about. The abundant life doesn't come from our map. It comes from Him. It comes from the King of Kings. Amen?
Amen.
Be flexible. You can't have it your way. I can't have it my way. But I'm so glad that my Heavenly Father knows what's good for me. If I gave my daughter candy all the time, if I gave her candy every time she wanted it, she wouldn't have a tooth in her mouth. Some of us, that illustration hits harder because we're losing her teeth. And we think, yeah, right? Anybody? You're not going to raise your hand. Yeah, I got three teeth left. Right? Thank God for parents and our Heavenly Father who knows what's good. Moving on, last one. You ready? You might want your seatbelt on for this one. Faithful. Faithful. Faithful to do what? To do what the Lord wants you to do. To be faithful to Him. You cannot be faithful to God and faithful to yourself at the same time. The Bible says we have sinful, wicked, evil hearts. If we could, we would dream of new ways to sin every day and probably do. You cannot be faithful to yourself and to God. You need to today determine who you're going to be faithful to. If you're married, actually, if you're married and I know your spouse would want you to be faithful to them, I say this, be faithful to God and you will be faithful to your spouse. Amen? I had this thought. All of us, we're raising a flag for something. We're raising a banner for something. Your banner says something. The world looks at you and they see something. What do they see? Obviously, we want the banner to say Jesus. We want the banner to say Jesus. Some of us, the banner reads mediocrity. That we're mediocre. That we don't do anything all the way. And for some of you, you're fine being mediocre. And God says, today I want you to put down the banner of mediocrity and I want you to raise the banner of Jesus. Jesus is excellent. Jesus desires our all, not half of our hearts. For some of you, it's the banner of pride. Perhaps it's the banner of, I'm a self-made man or I'm a self-made woman. I don't need anybody. And other people look at your life and they see this, and they don't see Jesus. For some of you, the banner you're waving is the banner of being a victim because somebody hurt you years ago. Perhaps you were raped. Perhaps you were raped. Perhaps you were molested. Perhaps your dad never loved you. Perhaps you were divorced. Perhaps you were hurt by so many other people. In your whole life, you're waving this banner of, I'm a victim. I'm a victim. Who are you? I'm someone who's been hurt. I'm a victim. I want you to know today, Jesus wants you to lay that banner down and pick up the cross and wave the cross. He does. He wants to forgive you. See, the problem is when your identity, when you haven't forgiven others and you haven't dealt with it, your identity goes back to the source of the place that most influenced your life. When you're a man or a woman and you get a job, maybe your identity changes. Tell me about yourself. Well, I'm an electrician. Right? Your job becomes your identity. So many people, when they're hurt, tell me about yourself. I'm someone who's been hurt. I'm someone who didn't have a mom. I didn't have a dad. I'm someone who was raped. I'm not saying those things to demean that. I'm not. But I want to say that our identity needs to come from the cross. Amen? Those things we bring to the Lord, He provides forgiveness and healing and helps us to forgive. Don't wave that as your identity. For some of you, your identity might be, I'm tough. I'm a tough guy. I'm a tough lady. You will never see me cry. I've been hurt and you will never see me cry. I want to tell you that's not the right banner to wave. That's not the right banner to wave. You need to wave the banner of the cross. Be faithful to Him. Amen? How do we be faithful? Get into the Word. Get into a church. You're here. Thank the Lord. Be faithful. God calls us to be faithful. Because we grow. Because we change. Spend time in prayer. Spend time with the Lord. I have one more place that I want to go before we wrap it up. Today, we're talking about Joseph. He was the man of his household. Today, I want to take the last 2 minutes before we close here. I want to talk specifically to the men of our church. Specifically to the men of our church. God has called us to be faithful. Christian, husband, father, everything else. And by everything else, I mean Christian means love Jesus, live for Jesus in your personal time. Christian also includes church attendance. Okay? It's right in there. That's what it means to be a Christian. It means I fellowship with other people. Family, wife, first of all, don't put your kids before your wife. Keep your wife, love your wife, live for your wife. If you don't attend church and do those things, you won't be any good to your wife. Okay? Children, grandchildren, if you have them. Job comes after there. Now, I've realized that to love your wife, that means you go to work. And I understand that the outline moves around a little bit because you love your wife, therefore you work. Okay? But you need to make sure we get our priorities straight. God's called us to be faithful. Here's the problem today. God, around the world and at our church, is raising up an army of men to lead our faith and lead our homes. Do you hear me that today, men? God's raising up an army of men. Here's the problem. Too many men are cowards. Do you hear me today? Too many are cowards. We're afraid to be real for Jesus. God's called us to be faithful, and we're ashamed of Him. God is calling us back to Him today. Men, do you hear me? Romans 1:16, Paul declares, the man who died for his faith, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because it is the power of God for salvation of everyone who would believe. I am not ashamed. We are ashamed as men. And you know what? It's disgusting in the eyes of God. He's called us to be faithful. We're down here, and God's called us to be faithful men. And it's shameful. And it's sad. He's called us to be the leaders of our home. And we cannot lead our wives where we have not been. Do you hear me today? If we have not been at the throne of grace, we cannot lead our wives to the throne of grace. We cannot lead our children to the throne of grace. If we have not been there. I can't think of anything more manly than to stand for Christ, especially in a world who denies Him. Can you think of a better fight than that? As men, we should have a warrior instinct to come up within us and say, I will stand, I will fight. The Lord calls us to a fight. Paul says over and over in Scripture, fight the good fight. Fight the good fight. Fight the good fight. And we cower because we're more influenced by Howard Stern than we are the Son of God. Hollywood punks us down. We think if we don't cuss, spit tobacco, and drink Budweiser, we're not men. And we allow other people to tell us what a man looks like. And when we come together in church, we're afraid to worship God. We're afraid to lift up our hands because somebody might think we actually love Jesus. We're cowards. God is raising up an army of men. If you're here today, you might as a man say, my wife won't let me lead. I want you to know something. If you were a leader the way God's called you to lead, your wife would gladly follow. She would follow. And women, if you're here and you don't want to follow, I want to tell you that's sin and you have to follow. You should follow. But pray for your husband. Because to be honest with you, none of us, I don't think, any of us have good examples of what it means to be a man for Jesus. All we see are examples of people who are hellbound, who are the real men. They're the ones we look up to. We need to start looking up to the men of faith, those willing to die for their Savior as Jesus died for us. Amen. Men, this is a big challenge, but I want you to know something. In love, listen, as your pastor, in love, I'm telling you, if I didn't love you, I would not say this. I got better things to do. I want to eat just like the rest of you right now. But God is telling me to tell you, it's time to man up. God is calling a generation of men to take a stand for Him. Men who will seek Him for real. Men who will humble themselves for real. Men who will exalt God. Men who will lead their families and take their wives and lift them up on a pedestal as God commands us to and love them as Christ loved the church. We're told if you're a man, that means you have to have all kinds of time to hunt and fish and do all this other stuff. That's baloney. If you're a man and you love your family, you love your wife and kids, and you work hard for them, you're not going to have a lot of time to hunt and fish and do all kinds of stuff. You're not going to have any hobbies. You don't have time. Right? Am I right? I lived under this lie that I needed to have this whole list of manly things to do. And I didn't have time to do any of them. If you love your family, you live for God, you serve His church, you lift up your wife and you pay attention to her needs, and you go to your kids' soccer games or whatever they do, and you love your children, wrestling, go to your kids' wrestling game, you're not going to have a lot of free time. But who are we impressing? Howard Stern? He's not coming to your house. What other tough guy are you impressing? I want to impress the toughest of all. I want to impress Jesus. I want to impress the one who, they didn't force his hand open, the one who looked across time and space and saw my face and your face and said, I die for you. And open up his hand to be nailed to the cross. That's toughness. That's boldness. Self-sacrificing love. The world knows nothing of that. I don't know about what you want, men. And I want to look at you. For some, this might be the last time you're ever here. So I'm going to look at you. Listen. God's raising up an army. We can fly the flag of mediocrity, or we can get real with God. I want to be a part of the army. I want to be a part of that army that changes the world, that changes my family. I want, when I'm dead and in the coffin, that my family looks at the box and says, that man gave his all for Jesus. Even for those in the family members that reject him, I want them to look at my corpse and say, he lived for Jesus. He believed what he believed. He lived what he believed. That's what I want. I don't know about you. I hope that's what you want. And that's when we find something worth living for, and even better than that, we find something worth dying for. Men, we need a cause to die for. Like Braveheart, you know? We need a cause to die for. This Jesus has been a cause for 2,000 years of men burned alive, praising God while they're burning for the faith, living for God. Will you rise up? There's so much potential. Every man in our church, listen, there is so much potential to have an army for Jesus in this place that would change everything. Are you willing to rise up? I hope so. I hope so. I hope so. And I pray that together we will change the world. Hallelujah. Let's go to prayer. Lord Jesus, I love you today. God, you've called us to be flexible. I pray, Lord Jesus, that we would be flexible. That, Lord, when our plans don't go our way, may we never be like spoiled babies kicking and flaring around. And like a child who says, what, you don't love me, Dad? We don't say the same thing to you. Help us, Lord. And God, I pray that you would help us to be faithful. Lord, you're calling us to be faithful, to change our world, to be like Joseph, that even when things don't go well, we stand for you. Lord, I pray against the spirit of cowardice that has crept in our church and churches around the world. Lord God, raise up men filled with the Holy Spirit and boldness who will take a stand for you. thank you that you give us your Spirit that gives us boldness, that we will stand for you, that we will live for you, that we will die for you, that we will die for our families, that we will die for our children, to see them go to heaven and live with you with life everlasting. Hallelujah. 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 I'm going to call you. Men, I'm going to call you and I'm going to ask you to step out. We're going to go in just a second. If you think this is difficult, I'm glad, because that's kind of the point. But if we don't stand for Christ now, we never will. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to pray. I'm going to count to three. And when I count to three, I want the men in our church, if you're here to say, I answer the call. I answer the call. Listen, as a man, I don't care who doesn't answer the call. I'm going to live for God. Though none go with you, I will follow. But you today, I'm going to count to three. And I don't want you to look around. I want you to get up to this altar to enlist in the army of God today. And I'm going to pray with you. I'm going to anoint you with oil that symbolizes the presence of the Holy Spirit. And listen, the Holy Spirit gives us strength. I'm not asking you to get all emotional and get a lot of emotional strength. The Holy Spirit will give you boldness and power. I'm asking you to enlist. If you're here today, we're going to pray, then we're going to go. I'm going to count to three. I want you to come up. We're going to pray. Men, if you're here to enlist and get real with God, one, two, three, come up, and we're going to pray right now. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Men, come up. Let's lift up our hands in boldness and worship the Lord. You can be a younger boy too. You can come up. You don't have to wait till you're 18. If you're here even as a young man of faith and saying, I want to be a man of God, you can come up as well. We're going to pray. Can you guys just slide down and make some room? Slide down and make some room. Let's lift up your hands and worship. God is calling us to raise up an army for Him today. Listen, men, if you're not even used to this, I want you to begin talking to Jesus. Nobody's listening to you. Just begin talking to Him now. You can begin talking out loud, quietly. Just tell Him that you love Him. Begin to confess your sins to Him today. Open your heart to Him. Jesus, Lord, as I anoint with oil in your name, God, I'm going to pray, Lord, that you release your power. God, that you equip this army to change the world, Lord. We vow to you today, Lord, that we will be faithful, that we will be flexible, and that we will seek you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Call out to the Lord today. Hallelujah. Anoint, Lord. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Fill with your Spirit, Lord. In Jesus' name. We pray for boldness and power to live for you. Lord, we pray for the leadership ability to lead our homes, God. We pray in Jesus' name. Lord, we pray for power by the Holy Spirit, God. Hallelujah. Help us, Lord, to be men who fall before you. Lord, men of faith. Men, Lord, of seeking the Spirit, Lord, men full of the Holy Ghost and power, we pray in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, we live for you, Lord. In Jesus' name, fill with your Spirit. In Jesus' name, Lord, we dedicate ourselves to you. In Jesus' name, Lord, we ask for life change that goes beyond this altar time. In Christ's name, Lord, we ask for altar time, Lord. Life change. Bobby, anoint me with oil, please. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus, today, Lord, we declare that we will live for You. Lord, we declare, God, that we will be men of faith. Lord, that we will lead this kingdom, Lord. Lead Your kingdom, Lord, and lead this generation into Your presence, God. That we will lead our families, Lord. That we will be men of character. God, I pray that You would help us, Lord, to repent of sin. Lord, in places where we've failed our wives, Lord, help us to repent and help us, Lord, to talk to them today. In Jesus' name, help us, Lord, to apologize to our children. Lord, to repent and live for You in boldness and in power, we pray in the name of Christ. Hallelujah. 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 Man, if you can look at me for just a second before we go. This is important. Just look right at me for a second. We've all failed. We've all failed. I'm preaching this in love, listen, and I failed. Before you, I will admit that I had to talk to my wife just the other week and just apologize in places where I wasn't the leader that I should have been, where I thought I was. I want you to know today, men, I'm challenging you. If you're married and you've hurt your wife, I want you to apologize. You know what? We call that manning up. Is that difficult? Everything God calls us to will be difficult. That's why it's the fight. We fight the good fight. It'll all be difficult. But sit down with her. Even if you need to think it over, don't let too much time go by, though. And just say, you know what? I'm sorry. And I want to do a better job at leading. If you've hurt your children, talk to your children. Apologize to your children. Do that. Say, I've hurt you and I'm sorry. Is that difficult? You better believe it. But my King would not call me to anything that wasn't difficult. And I'm okay with that. Because I want to be a man in His army. My general, my commander-in-chief wouldn't call me to an easy task. But that's okay, because I will do it for Him. I will submit to Him. Do that. Submit to Him. Talk to your children. Talk to your grandchildren. Tell them. Lastly, spend time in prayer. Spend time in prayer. Our theme for next year, one word, prayer. In fact, I'll spoil it for you. The big word is if. The verse we're going to use says, if My people who were called by My name will humble themselves and pray, seek My face, turn from their wicked ways, then God says, I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. That's our verse for next year. If. Will we do it? If we do it, He will do His part. I declare today that I want to do it. Amen. Do you want to do it? If we will get real. If we spend this next couple weeks in prayer, January's messages will go a little bit easier. Because we'll already be there. Amen. Amen. I challenge you. Go. Be men of God. Be men of God. Be men of God. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 The Lord is good. We're going to go ahead and close in prayer and pray for the offering right now while we're here. If you need prayer for sick, don't go. Stay. Church went long. I'm sorry, but it's your fault for not deciding on the candlelight service time. Not taking the rap this time. And just like any other meeting, it all ended up for the time we originally had. So. Jesus is good today.
He is good.
He is good. Amen. And what's important isn't that we leave exactly on time. Although I am, honestly, I want to be considerate of your time. The important thing, though, is that God changes us. And I want to be changed by Him. Let's pray. Jesus, we love You today. Let's worship Him. Men, even as our women, even as our wives can look, let's lift up our hands and worship to Him as we close and say, Jesus, Lord, we thank You for Your presence. We thank You for Your Spirit. We pray, Lord, that You would be with us as we go. that you would help us to live for you according to your word and lead as you've called us. Lord, we thank you for our wives that are so understanding, Lord, and don't kill us when they probably should. Bless our children, Lord. Be with them, we pray. Bless us as we go. Keep us safe. Bring us back for Bible study, we pray. And bless this offering that we're about to give to. Be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen.